Hello, wow, welcome to episode 99, almost 100, but not quite, of the Iron Hack Podcast.
I am Ternary Tim.
And I am DevOps Dan, switched it up for the penultimate episode.
You could have had Data Dan today.
Yes, because our guest is, for the first time in a while, a member of the data science community. Well, sorry, I should take that back. It's data analytics course at Iron Hack. We often get the two mixed up.
The data analytics teacher at the Berlin campus, Alex, joined us today, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was a great little dive into the world of data analytics and what you can expect to be taught on the course. Actually, more than that, it was the kind of mindset the students are taught to solve problems with, or the kind of mindsets you should go into the course with if you are thinking of doing it.
Yeah, I think maybe just also very useful information on where to start if you're thinking of doing the course and what you might start tinkering with before you begin. So
yep.
Yeah, it's a great app. Good to dive back into a bit of data.
Yeah, nice classic one to round off
the centenary
of episodes.
The centurion.
I guess we have to interview a centurion for the next episode.
Ah, yeah, the 100-year-old developer.
Yeah, there is one, actually. He's failed Iron Hack a few times, and he's still trying to get past the aptitude test. All right, then, enjoy the episode, and we'll see you on the other side of it. Or during it. We'll be in the episode too. But
we're in the episode, but yeah. We're also going to be here after the episode.
We don't talk directly to you in the episode, so
yeah. So
be aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, don't panic if you don't get personally addressed.
Right.
So I'm currently in Berlin. I'm a teacher at Iron Hack, and I teach. That's what I do. So I'm a teacher at the Iron Hack Bootcamp, at the Data Analytics Iron Hack Bootcamp here in Berlin, that runs 5 times during the year and lasts 2 months.
No,
so currently based in Berlin.
And who are you? What's your name for all the listeners out there?
My name is Alex. So I'm half Portuguese, half Polish. I was born in Belgium, in Brussels, grew up there, studied there. And then, fast forward a couple of years after graduating from university, here I am teaching data analytics in Berlin.
Did you come straight into the data analytics lead development teacher role, or how did you get there? What was your journey?
So the journey, I mean, if we roll back the years, maybe into university, I started programming there. I studied economics, so had a good background in statistics, in econometrics, so already kind of some idea, some working with data, you know, working with basic models, and of course programming too. Then finished university, went and did other stuff, and in 2021 ballpark, kind of came back to programming in Python especially, and 2022. A friend told me, "Hey, why don't you try data? It seems like something you'd be good at, and you already have, you know, a foundation in programming. You're good with statistics, with math. Seems like something for you." And so my sister actually recommended me the Iron Hack Bootcamp. So I enrolled in Berlin because of the tech scene. It was a city I'd never been in. And yeah, so I started as a student, finished the bootcamp in May 2022, started as a TA the very next bootcamp. And yeah, so basically did 3 bootcamps as a teaching assistant, after which the teacher that was teaching at the time left. And I was already having some teaching experience, was giving some classes, running some workshops. The feedback was good, so I ended up applying for the position, had an interview, a couple of talks, and yeah, started in January this year as lead teacher here. And I am finishing tomorrow, actually, my fourth bootcamp as lead teacher.
Is it your fourth and final bootcamp, or is it your fourth bootcamp?
Fourth. Okay. Just fourth.
The journey continues.
Yeah, four more years coming back, yeah.
14 years.
Yeah.
And on that topic of experience, I was doing a bit of LinkedIn snooping actually before we did the interview, and I saw that you had mysteriously titled game strategist as a job.
Right.
Could you give us a bit more detail on that? Is it as intriguing as it sounds?
It is. Maybe the goal is to make it intriguing.
Yeah.
Or kind of mysterious, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, a game strategist, I mean by it someone who went seriously into strategy games. So I came onto the name of the position.
Is it a self-given title?
By accident on LinkedIn. No, it's not. I was looking for, you know, because I went into poker and chess. Those were the two games I went into pretty seriously. And I was looking for a name or some kind of job title when I was setting up my LinkedIn mm-hmm. that would make it sound kind of professional.
Did you make a living off of?
I did.
Okay.
And there I did. Yeah. And the only thing I found that was remotely close to that was game strategist. So I said, you know what? If it's the only choice I have. So yep. I stick with it.
It definitely fits now, and I also see now the path to data. Data analytics and data science. I can see the analytic mind behind it. How long did you do that for before you jumped into
this? Well, a couple of years. So I graduated from university in 2018, and yeah, I mean, almost until I started the bootcamp myself, that's what I was doing for a living. Yeah,
it's interesting you say that actually, because the teacher. Of the web dev course, when we were doing our boot camp, he started off as a professional poker player. So there's a bit of
I met him.
Oh, you met him?
Yeah, he was a teacher here in Berlin too, right?
Yeah.
I met him. Yeah, we talked a bit. He was part of the old guard of poker.
Yeah. That's an interesting.
I mean, I hope he doesn't take it. I hope it doesn't sound bad.
He doesn't listen, don't worry.
Okay,
he didn't listen to the episode he was on.
You know that for a fact?
Well, he was mine and Tim's teacher when we started the podcast. So we wanted him to be the first guest, Mr. Jan Redman. Right. And then he was like, look, if you're still doing episode 50, oh, come on. And then to his dismay, we got him on episode 50 to come and give this long orate speech. So I'm glad we got him. Before he left, Iron Hacker moved on.
Yeah, we called his bluff.
Right. Yeah.
Poker link, yeah, like that.
Yeah. Right. I think that's perfect.
Let's get into the meat of the episode then. Tell us about what's taught on the data analytics course at IronHack.
So, data analytics course. If I were to go through the weeks, we start with an intense first week that's dedicated to Python. So as kind of the Swiss Army knife of data analytics and data science. So yeah, that's all there is to week one virtually. Week two then starts with a pandas, so popular Python library for data manipulation. Right? So very popular, very famous.
Is that quite a new addition to the course?
I don't think it is. No.
Okay.
I mean, when I took the course, it was already there. So I think it's been there already for some time. Of course, I mean, there are some other libraries currently coming up, like Polars, for example. I mean, as always, right, in tech. But Pandas is still extremely popular. So, So that's for week two. Currently, there are some changes happening, so we're also starting with quite a big visualization tool in week two called Tableau. So that's for dashboarding, right? Creating data vises and so on, which is kind of part of the EDA, so exploratory data analysis process that we start in week two. Week three is mainly, we're all about SQL. So basic querying, creating databases, again, kind of an essential skill for data analysts to have. And week four, we start with a bit more of a, heavy topic, probably the heaviest week of the bootcamp, which is all about statistics, an introduction to machine learning, hypothesis testing. So really kind of we try and cover as best as possible the statistics foundations needed for data analysts.
Is there certain traits that you think are better suited for data analytics students? Do you think it's open for everyone, or do you think a scientific mathematical mind is a bit more favorable?
I mean, it's pretty obvious that someone who is good at maths, good at, you know, has been solving maths problems, or has strong foundations in statistics is gonna just be much more prepared for the bootcamp, and is gonna be able to learn much more. Although I think in general, I'd say that's not the highest level. At a higher level, I would say being kind of, it's just a problem solving attitude, right? And I think, well, with math, with statistics comes already some sort of package of problem solving. So that's also good. But anyone who is curious, who when facing a problem goes, tries to break it down, really has this, in a sense, stubbornness almost, is gonna do well, I think, almost every time. So I think the curiosity coupled with the problems, the will to solve problems is the best skill.
So it's the whole sticking with the problem attitude. You know, Cal Newport. That's what he says is the sort of key skill to any of this stuff is who can actually just sit with the problem.
Who can stay there longest? Yeah, who can hang with it? That's the solution to a lot of tech. Disciplines, you know, same with web dev and stuff. All right, so answer this age-old question for us. A returning friend to the podcast is this question: what is the difference to the layman, man, woman, child out there between data science and data analytics?
Well, data analytics in the end is...
We always get told they're the same thing, so...
those two terms, the term data analyst, data scientist, technically data analytics is part of data science. Right. Only data analytics tends to focus more on, I would say, right, or is more geared towards the communication, turned more towards the stakeholders, communicating the insights, dashboarding, that's why we teach a tool like Tableau during the bootcamp, whereas data science is broader and has these elements of advanced math, statistics, algebra, calculus, model training, model deployment also, that isn't technically part of the skill set that a data analyst should have, right? So it has this addition, kind of harder, more advanced math, machine learning, statistics part.
Do most data analysts aspire to be data scientists?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that the skill sets are different. And I know people, and I can imagine many people in the situation where they are working, with dashboards, creating dashboards, presenting the data, presenting their insights to relevant stakeholders,
yep.
And not really, you know, wanting to change path and go into, you know, have to go back to learn algebra, calculus, maybe object-oriented programming with Python. They like what they do. So in the end, it's a super wide field, and yeah. I think someone who finds their niche, which is also something that we really encourage the students to do, kind of find what they prefer in data analytics or data science, right? Is it more the communication of insights, the visualization, right? Dashboard creation, or is it more of the programming with Python, creating data pipelines, training models, that sort of stuff. So we really let them find their superpower, so to speak.
Yep. Choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you think aspiring students or, you know, soon-to-be students should be learning? Top three topics for soon-to-be IronHack data students to look into?
Topics. Can you just expand on topics?
Yeah, like things that they should be learning before their course, like areas of expertise they should just kind of brush up on before they start an IronHack bootcamp. I mean, some basic Python, maybe?
Yeah. So I think Python, I would put Python, SQL, Python and SQL in the same branch, just because being proficient with those just makes it so much easier to get through the bootcamp.
Yeah.
You know, and it just can't be stated enough. I think there is, because it's such a wide field, and also that touches everything, right? Data is information, right? Information can be about anything. Because it touches about anything, you ideally would like to get through this first barrier, this first technical barrier that is the programming language, mm-hmm. right? In order to do so, right, best thing is just to practice, to code, to solve bugs. We have a pre-work, so work and assessments that the students need to complete before we start, so that they're already on some solid level. That's for sure. Programming in Python and SQL. The second branch I'd say is some basic statistics, basic math. So descriptive statistics, nothing too fancy. So what are probability distributions, things like measures of central tendency, right? So things like mean, median, mode, concepts like variance, standard deviation, which come up so much throughout the bootcamp. So that'd be number two. And number three, I just have to bundle up again the part about curiosity and problem solving, or rather, a huge point, I think, is not even so much problem solving, but a critical mindset, right? So being able to ask the right question.
Mm.
And I'd say that so many times this is one of the biggest challenges for students. So of course we go through a lot of technical stuff, right? So tools, so Python, SQL, statistics, you know, Tableau, so many different new tools for them to master, that it gets hard. You know, you see that it gets hard for them to look at things a bit kind of outside the box or on a higher level, get the big picture of the problem, which in the end is just, you know, a problem that you ideally should approach with a critical mindset. So what is this data saying, right? Where does this data come from? Who collected the data, right? Are there any biases in the data? And I would say that, focusing on the technical stuff is great and is amazing, but I would say that it is a way for you to clear out like the technical jungle and be able to apply your own critical thinking, right? With your own background, your own perspective on things. And well, in the end, extract the meaningful things that are hidden inside raw data.
So on that topic of kind of skill sets, you know, what students should kind of, you know, kind of prepare for, is there an element of soft skills as well, like you know, presenting and actually kind of getting the information across, because, you know, maybe there's people out there thinking, oh, I'd like to do a data science course, but it sounds like it's a lot of test tubes and calculators. But there is a big part of it, right, that's like presenting your ideas and actually getting the point that you've made across to your audience.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's also a bit of a misunderstanding about data analytics and data science. I think from the outside, it sounds like something very technical, very niche. But in the end, it's just not. So first of all, once again, touches on every possible domain, right? And then also has a huge part of, especially data analytics, right? A huge part of the communication of the insights, right? Not just the insight extraction, but actually communicating it clearly with proper charts, proper visualizations in an interesting way, right? We have art about storytelling with data too, which, yeah, whose importance can't really be overstated.
I mean, there is some technical skills and some technical things that need to be learned, but a lot of it is mindset and the right way to think. So I guess in that sense, I guess the skills that are taught in data analytics have a lot more longevity than, let's say, web dev or UX UI, where the tools can go out of date quite quickly, or the terminology we use. But in data analytics, I mean, is that still true? Is it a lot more just once you have this mindset and this way of approaching problems that it's stay with you throughout your career as a data analyst?
Well, I mean, I don't think I know enough of what's taught in UI UX in web dev.
It's just color about buttons, we've heard. You just change the
right.
colors of buttons.
Yeah. Right, that sounds about right. But no, I think yes. So I would agree definitely about the data analytics approach mindset that we try our best to make students develop. Yes, I would completely agree with you that even if the stack changes, even if the tools end up changing, that's what matters, right? Someone who can ask the right questions, someone who can then go ahead and use whatever tools are at his or her disposal to answer those questions, that's an invaluable person for a company, right? For a government, for whatever organization or community.
Asking the right questions would be really important, as for data and UX students, they have to ask themselves, you know, why didn't I take web dev? That's the first one. I think
the first big question.
And then solve and then answer the question by enrolling in the web dev bootcamp.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's just what we've heard on the streets, isn't it, Tim?
Time and time again for all those street coders we've been hanging out with.
So I feel like this next question that I was going to ask has kind of been answered. I was going to ask, what advice do you have then for someone who's thinking about getting into data analytics? But I think you've already answered it with this, you know, this curiosity, being persistent in how you solve problems and not being scared to break problems down. Is there anything you would want to add to any advice that you would give to a newcomer?
No, I think that's the big point. I mean, I'd rephrase it as, in the end, data is information. Mm-hmm. And so really trying to think clearly about a problem, or keeping the big picture of the problem in your head, despite all the technical tools and the technical struggles or bugs that you might have, that you're able to think clearly about the problem, right?
Yep,
exactly. Simplify or divide and conquer.
So if then my next question is a bit more interesting, I think. If you're coming to the end of your fourth bootcamp, so, I mean, tomorrow or later this week, did you say the students will present their
tomorrow,
final project?
Yeah.
Right, so that's
fourth
round. But from the three previous final project tech hack shows you've seen, have any really stood out for you? Any really interesting project ideas? Any highlighted ones in the data world?
They have. I mean, there were some really impressive image recognition problems that were solved. So even using things like deep learning, so deep neural networks for computer vision type problems that we don't really cover, or if we cover it in a very introductory way during the bootcamp, because it's just such a huge field. So it's always impressive to see students who are motivated, who jump and tackle those problems and end up, you know, really creating an app and play against whom you can play rock, paper, scissors, for example, computer, right? Just to give you an example. Yeah. But also other, that's one, I think that's one kind of trap of the hack show and creating a final project.
For listeners out there, the hack show is at the end of the course, you build a final project where you get, I think it's 2 weeks of kind of just unguided time to build, where you have support of your teachers when you need it. And then at the end, there's a presentation, everyone presents their project, and then a winner is voted. So, yeah.
Pure hack.
Yeah, carry on, sorry.
Right. I think I was saying that it's a little bit of a trap because, of course, the students want to make something that's as shiny as possible, right? I mean, you're presenting in front of the whole cohort. You'd rather have something that's really impressive, that has the wow effect. But the truth is that many of the skills we teach and the tools we teach, like a solid analysis of the data, is not going to be that shiny. Right? It's not going to be that amazing. Now, of course, as Tim pointed out, a big part of it is also the storytelling part, the communication part, which can kind of make things more appealing. I say the trap is sometimes to reduce the quality or the appeal of a project solely to its shiny wow effect. Right? And I've seen great, really great, great quality projects which were more, I mean, let's call it by the books. So with involving a thorough analysis of the data set, extraction of insights, solid dashboard creation, running some hypothesis tests. Probably to the listeners, doesn't sound as exciting as an app that can recognize what kind of animal we're looking at. But
whoa, hang on. Joking.
You get my point.
Yes, of course. The fundamentals are sometimes the most interesting thing in the gray world of data analytics.
I know exactly what you mean. I think that the UX UI students, they'll probably be a little bit like looking over their shoulders when you're saying that, because they're maybe that's their kind of focus for the end of the project. But yes.
Well, I don't know. I think the UX UI is usually very research, user interview driven, actually. A lot more, very common misconception is that it would be very sparkly and here's a cool UX I designed. But I think a lot of it nowadays might be a lot more, we spoke to 200 people. Did you know the button is better slightly over to the right?
Oh my God.
I mean, that's what the web developers would do, yeah.
Yeah.
So then before we do wrap up, Alex, is there anything you want to plug, anything you want to recommend, any reading material, current book you're reading, any show or event or student or anything? Now's your time.
Podcast that you've been listening to.
There is one with two guys presenting that I just don't remember. It'll come back.
Two generic white guys doing a tech podcast from Berlin.
Yeah, something. So, it rings a bell, but I don't remember the name. But in terms of books, I would say a great, great book about statistics and that has so many great practical examples is called The Art of Statistics. Mm-hmm. It's written by David Spiegelhalter. So The Art of Statistics, I'm sure you can find it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. How to learn data.
Right. It's really, really well written. Just can't recommend it enough. And okay. Also touching on randomness, on probabilities in a interesting way, kind of stimulating way, are the books written by Nassim Taleb. So, I don't know if you heard, but Lebanese author who wrote The Black Swan is probably his most famous book. A very good one and maybe I would recommend even more, is Fooled by Randomness.
Okay.
So I think they're also really good books, also to, I would say, tickle a bit the critical thinking part, and yeah, just get you interested, get you introduced to information, so data, probabilities, randomness. I think it's something that any data scientist deals with every day. So yeah, Fooled by Randomness and Black Swan.
Is the Black Swan, is that where the phrase Black Swan event comes from, that book?
Yes, I think, yes. So Nassim Taleb coined the term, right? So famously predicted the 2008 financial crash. Book got a lot of traction afterwards.
Alex, to the point man. I liked it.
Yeah, a lot of information, a lot of data that I didn't already have. Now I do. It's good.
I like to know about this book, so I might give one as a read, actually.
I liked the name of that one he just recommended a few seconds ago. No, the other one, actually. Fooled by Chance, what was it?
Fooled by Randoms.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, then...
Sorry.
Yeah, then the shame's on it. Shame on... Fool me three times, shame's back on you. I think the shame stays on me if you show me, because I've been shamed twice then. The shame me four times and the shame goes back to you because now you're just taking advantage of someone.
And shame me five times, we've become close friends.
Okay, well, shame me six times and you've fallen from my trap. playing the fool six times and then fool me seven times.
We're smarter than this.
And you have seen through my illusionary trap. And you are, but still, there's no shame because I'm being fooled by the
because
best.
I'm fooling you for an eighth time.
Yeah, there's a good little bit there. All right,
and that's just that phrase, isn't it?
Yep, that's the data behind that one. So enjoy that rest of your day, evening, morning, wherever you are. I hope that has inspired you to, you know, fool some people or take a data analytics.
Bring shame onto some of your friends.
Yeah, all right. Bye. Would take it or leave it.
Yeah, do it.